feel kind of bad about that one. So if you need aid to your vehicle, please let me know, and I will either walk you there myself, or I'll assign someone or seek someone out to get you help there. So don't be afraid to ask, or I'll even run and grab your car, too. I promise I won't steal it. I'll bring it right to the front door here if you need. I just want to start off with our time of thanksgiving and praise and just some stuff that we need to pray for healing within our church body. I just received a text this morning from Candace, and her daughter Cassandra has quite a severe case of bronchitis at the moment. If I remember correctly, I believe that's not really a good thing for her to get because she already has lung issues. So we definitely need to lift them up in prayer at this time. It's pretty severe, Candace has said, and they're looking at transferring her to Edmonton from Red Deer. So keep her and we'll keep her in our prayers. But at the same time, Candace also has to deal with Newt right now, who has a urinary tract infection, and they don't know what's causing that. So we need to lift them up big time in prayer. She just kind of texted, "When it rains, it pours." Yep, sometimes that's how it goes. So we definitely want to lift that family up in prayer. They've been through a lot this past couple months. If you remember, her daughter also had the jaw issue. We also want to lift up our guest speaker today in prayer as he comes and share with us his heart and what God has placed in his life, and so we just want to lift him up during that time. His name's Jeff, and I'll introduce him in a little bit when I'm done here. Did anybody else have anything they want to bring forward today for praise, thanksgiving, healing, whatever that we can pray as a church family? Slow week. Oh yeah. Okay, pray for Arlene for sure. I also wanted everybody here to know that we placed the cards in front of you. If you're a little timid or shy about praying during this time, you can just slip it into the offering plate when you fill out the prayer cards. We'll pray for you. We have a list up in our office that Stephen and I compile. And Stephanie does it. But Stephen and I have it in our offices, and we pray over that during the day as we just glance over, and we're like, yeah, I'm praying for this now. So all this stuff here gets taken up there, and we continue to pray throughout the week. So Arlene, anyone else? Definitely. It's great to see the healing works in the bodies. It's excellent. All right. Well, let's take this to God and praise him and uplift him for all that he does, and also seek out healing during this time. Lord, we thank you that today we can gather here on this day and worship you and praise you as a community, as a body of believers, as a family. And we lift you up and we thank you for all that you do in our lives. Jesus, we so appreciate all that you do for us. We appreciate the filling of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you continue to challenge us each and every day, and that you would place on our hearts every morning to just look to you immediately and seek out what your desire is for us that day. I pray you place challenges in front of us throughout the week, and you just place faces in our dreams and in our minds of people that we need to minister to, that we need to pray for, that we need to love upon. Let that be a part of our daily journey with you as we seek you out first thing in the morning. And so today we're so thankful for all the healing that you've done within this church body and the amazing just touches of your hand upon our lives. As Ron and Irving, we're so thankful to have them in our church body. They serve so faithfully, and we just appreciate that you've healed a lot of their ailments and backs and kidney concerns and such. Lord, we thank you for all that you do with healing in our body. And I know even my stomach, I'm super grateful for that, Jesus. Thank you for the healings. And so we continue to pray for healings within our church body or from people that we as a church body don't even know, but we can still lift up in prayer and say, Jesus, please heal for your glory. And one of those people is Arlene as she struggles with two cancers at once. Lord, sometimes we don't have answers. But we pray for Arlene during this time that you would heal the leg and breast cancer within her. That you would remove that. You would do away with it. Jesus, touch her right now. Heal her for your glory. And Jesus, we also want to take Candace and her children to you right now. She just got over dealing with a jaw issue with her one daughter. And now we're dealing with Newt getting a urinary tract infection and Cassandra getting bronchitis. Lord, we pray that you touch these children right now, especially for Cassandra, that bronchitis is not good for her, and we just pray for your healing touch upon her lungs right now. Lord, we pray that you would lead her to the care that she needs, whether it's in Edmonton or Red Deer, and that you would give these doctors wisdom to help her out. But even more so, Lord, we just pray for your healing touch right now so your glory can be made clear to those around. And Jesus, for poor Newt, as he goes around with the UTI, we just pray that you heal that. And it's not fun having to go to the bathroom every 2 seconds. So we just pray that you are with him right now and you heal that issue. Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen. Okay, so like I said, we have a guest speaker today. I'm super excited. His name's Jeff. He's all the way from Kelowna. I was actually kind of introduced to him through videos that he's doing on discipleship, and they were pretty phenomenal. So I've heard some of his discipleship talk before, and I'm just encouraged to have him here. So please, warm welcome, and just give him your attention and all that. Thank you.
That's not a warm welcome.
Thank you. I would have been fine even if you didn't clap. Thanks, Brad. I'm a visual learner. Like, if you just tell me something, are you too? So if someone tells me something, I'll retain maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing 20%. But if you show me, I get like 80%. So I'm gonna as I go, just put a few things on the board just to help me stay on track and hopefully give you some takeaways for today. Okay, a little bit about me. My home church in Kelowna is Kelowna Gospel Fellowship. So if you're ever visiting Kelowna, would you guys come say hi? It's I love the church. It's vibrant. We're people there are no different than here. We're battling challenges, but we're fired up for Jesus. And if you're there, there's a good chance I'll be there unless I'm out traveling somewhere. God put on my heart, I was mentioning to one of the gents in the lobby there, he put on my heart, like, I have a love for the church. When I come to the church, I'm like, yeah, this is where I feel at home. And I got it in Australia. Tanis, Kyle, Katie, and I have two kids, Kyle and Katie. We're traveling through Australia. We rented this old RV. We went through three of them. What a journey. It was like not in our comfort zone. Tanis and I are conservative. We grew up in Edmonton. We're both conservative people, but we got this RV. We went to a different church every Sunday, and we went to churches of like Hillsong. Like, they're massive, beautiful churches, and we went to tiny, beautiful churches of six. And I came back, and that's when I'm like, I need to quit my career. I'm going to go do my master's in theology, and I want to just be a part of the church. And it's what gives me life in here. And so I'm really thankful to be here. I have a little funny story. I got to tell you one, and then we're going to dig right in. You know, I'm so glad that we have worship artists. Are they here still, or did they leave? Where's our worship leaders? You know, a big thank you to you and your team, the other three people. I can't sing. I don't know what happened, but when they were handing out vocals, the other day, Tanis and I we love the front row. And this is what most churches, I don't know what's wrong with the front row. Nobody wants to sit in the front row. But we love the front row. If I was buying tickets to a sporting event, this is exactly where I'd want to be, and I'd pay the most money for that ticket. So I said to Tanis, when we started in Columbia, I'm like, we got to sit in the front row. She's like, really? Do we have to? I'm like, let's go. It's the best seat in the house. And so we sit right there. And one day we're singing like crazy. And we're about four songs in. And everybody's, like, our church is pretty, I'm not sure what the word, but like people have their hands up. They're really passionate. Tons of hands open. Tons of surrender. And everyone does it differently. I'm not saying one way is better. But we're giving her. And we're about four songs in, she taps me on the shoulder. And I'm like, oh, man, she's going to tell me. She's going to be like, man, this is beautiful. I love the vocals. Don't they sound nice? I love this song. I can sense Jesus right now. And she taps me. I'm like, oh, what? Yeah, babe, what is it? And I lean over. She says to me, you're singing higher than I am. I'm like, what? So I just went baritone the rest of the way. I was like, yeah, baby, no problem. I'll take a break down. I'm like, I'm vocally challenged. So I just want to thank the worship team. You guys, it's a gift. Like, church should be really different without you. So I'm really thankful. Okay, here we go. Hey, I want to share on something that's relevant to me. The Bible is amazing. There's so many amazing stories. There's so much learning. I heard our worship leader, she talked about Jesus, can you change us? And talking about all that change that can happen. And I get excited about all that stuff. But when I share at church, I like to share about something that happened to me recently. And so we're going to dig into something that I took a step backwards in my faith. And that's okay. We all do. Sometimes we just don't want to admit it. But if we're going to admit taking a step back in your faith and we're going to learn from it, this is the place to do it, church. And so I want to share something that happened to me. It was one step back, but I got to tell you, the reason they call the gospel the good news is because God uses those steps backwards, and there we learn from. And in the trenches, that's where you get shaped and really cool things happen. So our topic today is this word. I thought you glued this or something. Oops. Okay, our topic is this. It's to wait. And waiting, I'm going to break it down. We could go a million directions with this. But for today's topic, I want to focus on two things. I want to focus on number one. So we got two categories. So we're waiting on something we know is coming. Christmas. It's like right around the corner. We're waiting as in a season of Advent. We're waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Like, it's a big day. We're waiting. Maybe there's a marriage coming up in your family. Maybe someone's going to have a baby. Maybe there's a birthday coming. So these are all events that you're waiting on, you know are coming. It's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about this one. I want to talk about when you're waiting on answers to prayers. It's not easy. There's two things that we got to answer today. So right here, I'm just going to break this down. Number one, Okay, if you guys can't see over there too well, I'm going to read it to you. I want to try and answer today two questions. I'm like, why is it so hard? Because if we're being honest, it's hard. And then number two, what does the Bible tell us to do? What does the Bible say about this word to wait? To bring context to this, we're looking at this from a follower of Jesus perspective. So why is it so hard to wait as a follower to Jesus on answers to prayer? I'm just going to put this word here. So in order for me to bring context to this, I got to tell you guys a story. Something that happened to me and is a game changer for me. About 4 months ago, I started to get a little bit frustrated with God. I'd been praying. I'd been doing all the exercises he asked me to do. I'd been taking the steps of obedience. And then it didn't feel like my prayers were getting answered the way I wanted them to. You know, instant gratification, sometimes it can be a really bad thing. For example, I can go to my phone and I can just say, "Hey Siri, what time do the Dallas Cowboys play today?" And she'll be like, "The Dallas Cowboys are in a battle at 1:20 today, Pacific Standard Time." I'm like, instantly. I'm like, I'm coaching a little kids team. I need a watch. I need a little stopwatch. So I go on Amazon. I'm like, I need a stopwatch. So I'm like, I need a men's stopwatch. So there's like 24 of them that came up. And I'm like, $12.99. I'm like, perfect. I'm like, the next day, it's at my house. Do you guys got Prime? It's a beautiful thing. But the problem with it, the problem is, if we're being honest, we're building habits, right? And I talk about habits with my kids. I talk about them with myself. And I think I'm susceptible to building bad habits. I want everything now, and I want it on my terms. And I think that's what happened with God. You know, as I pray, sometimes I think I can take God for granted. Hi, buddy. I love it. Did you see that one guy over here? He was trying to climb up. He couldn't get up. And then he tried again. He couldn't get up. Each year he grows, he should just raise a little bit more. That'd be odd. The kid would be like, "Come on, man." 4 months ago, you guys, I got really frustrated with God. And for the first time in my life, I actually felt a little bit angry. And I didn't understand. I wanted my prayers answered on my time, the way I wanted them. And what happened was, I heard, Pastor Brad, you talked about John 10:10 about 3 weeks ago or something. You had brought up, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And I remember hearing that, and I was like, ooh, I can relate to that. Because you know what happened? This is just, it's what happened to me. And I don't know if you guys can relate or not. But I had a little spark in my life of doubt. And what happened was this. The devil, the enemy, he sees, he's like, whoa, do you see what Jeff's going through right now? I'm pretty sure this is what he'd be saying. He'd look at his buddy and be like, this is what Jeff's going through. He's like, there's a spark there, a doubt. We got to fan that. He took this log and he put it on. And it started burning a little bit more. And then he's like, whoa, Jeff's starting to get angry with God. Let's fan that flame. And he took another one and he put it at an angle because you get air underneath that thing and it really starts to burn. And then it started to build. And I was like, then was frustration. I'm like, what is going on? God, I've been praying. I've been obedient. I've been listening. And he took another log. And before you knew it, I'm not even kidding you guys, the fire in my life looked like that. And then you know what happened to me? I'm laying it all out. If this is too heavy, you can block me out. It's okay. You won't hurt my feelings. But I stopped. I have Sirius XM. I love the message. Change the radio station. I wasn't singing when I drive, and thank goodness no one's in the car because I'm not a good singer, but I sing. It's one of the ways I connect with Jesus, through song. And I changed the radio station. And as that fire kept growing of doubt, sometimes we talk about fire of passion. I'm on fire for Jesus. Those are all beautiful things. But fire sometimes can go the wrong direction. That's what happened to me. And it's okay. We all take a step backwards sometimes. I really believe we do. And if we're being honest, I think we all sometimes have a little doubt. It's okay. Let's just be honest. If you can't be honest right here in this place, I don't know where you should be. And then it happened one day. I was praying, and my words, I knew it, my words were fake. They were just words. And this had taken over. And then I got scared because I am selfish by nature. And if I don't have Jesus, that powerful fruit that he builds inside of you, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. When that Spirit gets inside your heart, that's what's produced. I don't produce it. And so then I got scared. I'm like, if I don't got Jesus, I got two beautiful children who I'm faking it. I got a beautiful wife who needs a husband who surrendered to Jesus, because on my own, I'm a bad husband. I started thinking about this. I'm like, how can I do this? I'm like, this is not good. Have you guys ever seen the movie Moneyball? It's a baseball movie. It's based on a true story. I'll give you the, if you haven't seen it, let me give you the Coles notes on it. The Oakland Athletics, about 10 years ago, had no money compared to the New York Yankees, who have all the money. So the New York Yankees would sign all the best players, and the Oakland Athletics had no money. I'm watching this movie one day, and I'm telling you, I took two steps forward that day. I'll tell you what happened. This movie is about Brad Pitt, who he's in charge of the team. And then he hires this 24-year-old Yale graduate who's so smart. And the graduate tells Brad Pitt, who's been in baseball all his life, he says, you're doing it all wrong. He said, you should be hiring players based on these statistics. And that's how you can build your team. Well, a month into the season, everything's blowing up. It's going terrible. I remember watching this scene. Brad Pitt's throwing stuff in the office. He's mad. He's got the phone. He's trying to make trades. He's slamming it down. And this Yale graduate says, whoa, are you sure? Do you really want to do this? And Brad Pitt looks at him and says, do you really believe in this? He challenges this young guy. He's like, do you really believe in this? I'm sure if I could read that young guy's mind, true story, I bet you he was like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? How do I get out of this? And he paused, and he looked at Brad Pitt, and he says, I do. And then Brad Pitt said, well, then I'm going all in. And I realized, I'm like, I'm not all in. I'm not all in for Jesus right now. I'm in a season where I'm like, I've pulled away. I'm the one who turned my back on him. And it was the coolest moment. Because I was by myself. Like, my wife goes to work, my kids go to work. I do a lot of other things. So I was by myself at 2:30 in the afternoon watching this movie. And I just got really sad. And I said, Jesus, I miss you. And I kid you not, friends, my eyes are watering. I'm like, I miss you. I said, I don't ever want to be without you again. And I got to tell you, this is the first time in my life where I actually felt like I was alone. And it scared me. But I got to tell you, when you've turned your back on Jesus, even if it's for a short time, and then you come back to him, it's more beautiful than before. That fire that the devil, the enemy, steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's trying to do. Like, if we're just, it was done. And, you know, a lot of you are parents in here. And sometimes you see your child go running, and you want to stop them. You're like, you're going to run into the wall. You're going to trip on that block. You're going to hit your face on the ground. You're going to skin this. You're going to slide on that ice. By the way, you could also try getting a waiver. A waiver is fine if they wipe. And I was thinking, like, he's like, I'll drive my car. I'll do. It's such a nice guy. He's willing to. I'm like, you can get the waiver. That's fine, too. But sometimes we just have to let the child fall. And I think that's what happened to me, you guys. I think God just, he's like, go ahead, Jeff. And so I fell down. And I told my wife, I'm like, you know, that's the season I was in. I was chatting with my wife. My wife's so hard. She's like the best. She gives me no. I'm like, hey, babe, I want to go do this. She's like, are you sure? Do you really think you can? And so I'm like, babe, I was in a really bad season. This was going on. I was hurting. I was lost. I was this. And she's like, it was only a month. Like, people roamed the desert for years. I get no sympathy from her. Like, what's up with that? Anyways. So I want to answer these two questions today. Five more minutes, and then I'm done, I promise. Number one, why is it so hard? And I want to just, there's one scripture that answers this whole question, you guys. Do you have the scripture? Proverbs 3:5. If we could get that up there, it's two lines that will answer this question. So Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So why is it so hard? Because you got to trust. You got to trust God with everything. And trust is hard. We live in a world where you get let down every day by products, by this world, by friends, sometimes by loved ones. And now we're saying, I got to trust him with all my heart. It's hard. I get that. And number two, it gets even harder because the scripture says you can't lean on what you understand. It's saying trust him even though it makes no sense to you. Super hard. I got to show you something. I heard this from Pastor Pete Unruh. We call him in Kelowna. We call him Pistol Pete. He's about 80 years old. He's so fired up for helping people discover Jesus, especially for men, watching men. He loves watching men surrender. Because a lot of guys, they're like, I'm too strong for that. I got control of this. I can do this. But the strongest men are the men who surrender. They don't. Some guys don't get that. They don't see the correlation. But I want to show you a visual, and may you remember this for the rest of your life. So Pistol Pete says this. I'm just going to use a loud voice. He said, we're all trying to live a life from this to this. It's a whole journey from start to finish of living like this to this. And, you know, when you were leading worship team, I love every week to take a moment like this. I love to sit on the couch when no one's around. It's just me and God, and I love doing this. Because God knows, he knows what I still got my hands on. He knows what I'm still trying to control. But the cool thing is, he loves you no matter what. And he's chased after you, and he's saying, Jeff, I'm still here. Jeff, I know you don't trust me in this area. Jeff, I know you're struggling with this. Jeff, I know you really got control of the wheel here. But man, if you could let go, it could be so beautiful. From this to this, it's a whole lifelong journey. And number two, what does the Bible say about this word right here? Waiting on the unknown. So you've got prayers. I have prayers. Man, there was, as Pastor Brad is praying for those children, and I'm like, God, you can do this. That's what's going through my head as I sat there. I'm like, God, you can do this. Heal these children. You can heal anyone. You can restore marriages. I can almost guarantee everybody here today is waiting on a prayer to be answered, or many prayers to be answered. I am, and that's okay. His timing is perfect. His ways are perfect. Can we trust him and not lean on our brain? Put our brain aside and trust him with this. It's so hard. But that's the journey. And number two, so I went through this little season. One of the coolest things, if you go through any season, there's a million things that can be tough in life. I really encourage you, dig into the Bible yourself. Open the book. See what God has to say about it. So I had to do a little research. This word right here, wait, I'm going to give it to you in 2 minutes. I hope you remember this forever because it could change your life. Wait, in Hebrew, the original language written in the Bible, means quava. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Maybe Pastor Brett, Q-A-V-A, kava. I asked my wife. She's like, I think it's kava. I don't know. Kava. Let me write that down. This word here, it means to bind to. Where can I put that? Hey, as you're waiting, the Bible tells us to bind to Jesus. Now, sometimes I get that's even hard because our emotions. And I was in a tough season, and I didn't do it. I took a step back. Thank goodness we have such a loving Father who picked me up, took me 2 steps forward. And I got to tell you, ever since that moment, my prayers have probably been more real than they ever have. And I think my kids and my wife realize that. Each time you fall down, I think it's just an opportunity to get back up and take like 3 steps closer to the King. Now, in regards to binding to Jesus, I'd like to give you guys the name of a book. I got no more room on there. The book is called Celebration of Discipline. It's by an author named Richard Foster. And it's interesting because the word discipline, we think, oh, that's bad. A discipline in this book, they're just referring to the habits, the daily routines of connecting with God. And in this book, The Celebration of Discipline, it's an incredible read. Every pastor is probably like, oh man. One guy I was talking to at Evangel Church in Colonia, he's like, Jeff, I read that book 6 times. And that book talks about all the different ways you can connect with God. Now the reality is that, you know, you might connect with it differently than I do with God. You know, maybe music, but then there's prayer. There's solitude, there's fasting, there's community, there's all the different ways. And so as you're going through any season of waiting, the Bible calls us to bind. So come closer to Jesus than you've ever been through some of the different disciplines. For me, I love music. It's weird because I can't sing, but I love it. I don't know why God did that to me. Maybe I think he has a great sense of humor. I was telling some people in the lobby a funny story. But for me, music, like, man, when I put Hillsong on, or Bethel, or Crowder, Matt Maher, all these amazing artists, and I start singing, or I hear those words, and my daughter and my son, we're singing now. At first, it was a little weird, but after a year, you get over it, and then you just start singing, and we sing. I think a powerful prayer life is the way you bind to Jesus. I think solitude, spending time alone, is the way you bind to Jesus. Do you find quiet time in your life? Or is it just noise all day? How can you hear from Jesus if you don't have any quiet time? I get it. You can hear from him, even in the noise, even in the rush. I get it. But wouldn't it be really nice to just have quiet time? And maybe it's a simple prayer like this. God, can you talk to me right now? Can you help me with this? You know what I'm struggling with. God, can you help me surrender more? I learned the hard way, friends, that sometimes I want things done on my time, the way I want them answered. But the reality is, God does it on his time, according to his perfect plan. And I think that's something that I will never take it for granted again. Pastor Brad, I'd love it. As we're done, I would love for you to pray for everybody here today. You know, this beautiful church you have. I'd ask you to pray, Brad, that during times of waiting, that we bind to Jesus and we trust in him and we lean not on our own understanding, that God can build that muscle in us, because that is a beautiful thing. Would you do that for us?